This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to PTBN's NBA Team Podcast. We are in the playoffs. We weren't able to do the first round preview due to unforeseen circumstances, but we are here now to talk about a little bit of the playoffs now that the play, the games have tipped off. We've had a couple of games already played in all the series. We have thoughts, like everybody does, but I think we're going to have some fun here. I'm one of your co-hosts, Andrew Reich. I'm joined by Adam Murray. Adam, are we back in the thick of it?
Yeah, you know, schedules sometimes don't work out. And the ironic thing was, I had totally miscalculated when the play-in games were, because I'm like, oh, I had a chance to do some. And then,
yeah, this is only the fourth year in a row this has happened. But the thing is, this was one where the timing was really, really bad in terms of the Friday to Saturday changeover from the elimination games to the first round of the playoffs.
Well, the play-in games, as we had mentioned in the finale episode, the regular season finale, this, like, every year be like, okay, the number 10 Spurs, yeah, right. And you could you could put a big Sharpie in for how the tournament go. This one is just like, you mean the Warriors are done? The Warriors didn't.
Well, the East went the way it was supposed to.
Atlanta
lost to Chicago, and then Chicago lost to Miami, and Miami lost to Philly. The home team won all the games. The West was a little odd. The 7 seed lost to which was New Orleans. They lost to the Lakers at home. Then they salvaged it by beating the Kings. But the Kings, even though they were the home team, absolutely like devoured the Golden State Warriors, who everybody thought was going to be an upset special.
Yeah, so that's why I'm like, I had timed it wrong, and then that came in, and then life came in. So here we are picking it up just to give our thoughts, since everybody has already given their previews. And I don't know about you, but so far I think everything is going how I kind of thought it would.
I'm kind of glad we waited to do a couple of these playoff series, because some of them have gone in a weird direction. If I had to guess, if we did this a week ago versus now, my predictions would be the same. I know a lot of people are talking about Miami getting that crazy upset over Boston where they hit 23 three-pointers to even the series at 1-1 going to Miami. So some people are getting PTSD of, the Heat culture, they're going to pull it off again. I'm not sure about that. We'll see once the weekend is past us. But other than that, Lakers giving a real good fight in the 2-7 matchup against Denver, not surprising. Thrilling ending to game two, for sure. And then obviously the Philadelphia New York ending in game two was absolutely buck wild. I was getting some flashbacks to that Piston game where the Knicks just absolutely tackled Asar Thompson and got the ball back. I don't think that's necessarily what happened in the Philly game, though.
It wasn't a tackle, it was a straight up chop block. Dude, no, for his knees.
You're talking about the Piston game, not the Sixers game.
The Sixer game, he
was trying to flail Tyrese Maxey on the inbound after a made three by Brunson. That, by the way, it did the Don Nelson, if you know that one. Don Nelson had a famous shot bounced from going way up in the air. That's what Brunson's did. Inbound, Tyrese Maxey kind of does a flail, and somehow, I don't know who got it. It may have been Ananobi, but just pops in the air like a Hail Mary. And that's when it got into rotation where, okay, open three, missed by DiVincenzo, offensive rebound, Hartenstein back to DiVincenzo. He hits it. There's 14 seconds. Absolutely wild finish. Also, a clearly hobbled Joel Embiid. Like, Joel Embiid's still great. He can still average 20 or 30 and 10 in that series, but he clearly is not 100%.
He is noticeably injured, and kind of like when Jimmy Butler played the play-in game, and you know, he played for 32. It's like, yeah, he watched, you know, like when Embiid landed, it looked like somebody shot him in the leg the way he fell, and then all of a sudden, oh, he's back in. And then when, you know, he's shooting the three at the end, it's like, that dude did not, he didn't even move. He has no hops. And it's just like, oh, this is...
There was a scary moment there where he got a crazy dunk on a, he did the Anthony Edwards where, or the McGrady, where he put, pinned it off the backboard and dunked it. But when he landed, he probably has such a tender, like, ligament on his knee that he probably thought he tore it, but he didn't. But it was a moment where he thought, oh my God, I think I busted my knee. It's just Joel Embiid, I think, in perpetuity until his career is over, is always going to have health issues and mobility issues because he's just had such an such a long injury history.
Yes, he probably thought he did something real bad, but it's not it's not clean. It's he is not healthy at all,
and it's not just the injuries ruining the Sixers. Stupidity too. Like the Knicks got 23 offensive rebounds in one of those playoff games. The last possession had nothing to do with Embiid. It was just bad defense and a bad inbound. You know, yeah, sometimes it bad did. Things happen.
But okay, so we'll start with the Knicks. You know, everybody had predicted. I mean, the betting odds were Boston, Philly in the conference finals because Philly looks to have an easy route here. Then the minute Embiid goes down, well, that changes everything. And then you look at the Philly roster and you're seeing Buddy Hield, who was supposed to be a major trade piece, only playing like 15, 16, 20 minutes.
He has been so far. I mean, game three is actually going to be playing really soon, but Buddy Hield was MIA in the first two games in the Garden. And also, the Garden crowd, I think, is a bit of a help for the Knicks. They have been very loud.
Yes, it's a very home court crowd, which in turn you get the home court ref calls, which just blatant. It's like you can see that was a bad call. Like, I don't know what LeBron was talking about when he, you know,
if home cooking exists, how did the Nuggets get only 4 free throws in a home game?
But like, they LeBron was. You know. LeBron was like, we had bad calls against us at the end. Like, what call were you looking for? I didn't see the one that he was complaining about for the Lakers.
We've talked about this over and over again with LeBron James. He's very succinct. He's very careful with what he says, who he hangs out with, what is communicated. And like, I remember when the play-in started, because of the fact that the Lakers had to get stuck in the play-in because they were the 7 seed. I remember he said, whoever put that together needs to be fired. I remember that. It's just, I mean, a lot of people still believe that the reason why the bubble even happened is because LeBron willed it to happen with the players because the Lakers were good enough to win a championship, which they did. So some people think that just LeBron is a master politicker. And this is one where he definitely was politicking in the press conference of, he was talking about the replay center. There was a foul.
Yeah, what's the point of the replay center? And
there was an out of bound where D'Angelo Russell definitely got hit in the head. And on the replay center, they said no, didn't get hit. that was a crucial moment late in the game. At the end of the day, the Lakers were up 20 in the second half and blew it. So at some point, you got to look in the mirror and like realize, okay, we screwed this up. Incredible shot by Jamal Murray too. I wasn't mad. Anthony Davis, I know some people are clowning him because some people think he's a bit of a wuss. The way he just said Jamal Murray made a shot and he dropped the mic and he left. But I actually, you know what? I like it. Be pissed. Be mad. Go out there and show him. You know,
playoff Jamal is a thing, but Anthony Davis has been just
awesome.
This is what he was always supposed to be, healthy, just a complete beast. And another person, injuries have just taken away most of his prime. Now he's coming to his tail end of his prime.
Yeah, he's avoided injuries this season. But LeBron and AD, you could see it in game one. You know, they can't do it on their own. They both had great games, but it wasn't good enough, and they lost by 10 once the Nuggets as a team went on their run. And they outscored them like 32-18 in the third quarter. In game two, D'Angelo Russell went off and he got a bunch of big shots. Austin Reeves had some big shots. All I can say there is that the Nuggets are just a better team. There's a reason why they're the 2 seed and the Lakers are the 7 seed. There's a reason why the Pelicans are an 8 seed and the Thunder are a 1 seed. I know the first game was close. The second game was not. That's usually, Adam, how these games go. Very rarely do you have... I always say this, like if there's in the first two games of a playoff series, usually one game, it doesn't matter whether it's game one or two, one game is tight, the other is not. And that pretty much has followed suit throughout this postseason. The only exception was the Suns Wolves, where the Suns just got blown out in both games.
They
You could also say the Magic in the Cavs game, but the first two, but pretty much, yeah. Like the Suns are in trouble, man. Like it almost feels like a little bit of a hot potato going on between Booker and Beal and Durant, where one guy doesn't want to take over, so they just commit a bunch of turnovers because nobody. They're just passing off the ball. Grayson Allen got hurt. We might not even see him again. Jaden McDaniels has been an X factor, and Anthony Edwards, even with bad shooting, has been really good.
This is basically sort of basketball 101 as to why you need a point guard.
Mm-hmm. Mike Conley's been helpful for Minnesota.
And Phoenix just has fallen. I mean, everything changed. You know, what game really matters is game three, is you have to win the one on the road, the favorite team. So in theory, Philly and Phoenix can bounce back, but Phoenix just doesn't look good. And like you said, with
I also think the Minnesota, the defense is like all-time great stuff. I think that's a bit much, but because of the fact that there are, and also I mean, listen, Adam, we're really early into this postseason, but do you think there's something to the decline in scoring late in the season and the fact that we're seeing a lot of low scores in this playoff compared to the regular season?
No, it's teams, players tend to play in the playoffs. Teams tend to actually play defense and play hard in the playoffs when the games
and
matter.
And adjustments, because you're playing the same game team multiple times in a row. They're going to make adjustments. You know, Paolo Banchero is turning the ball over like crazy. Well, what's going to happen is Jamal Mosley is going to adjust in Orlando where, all right, we're going to, the moment Paolo Banchero gets the ball, we're not going to let him just do ball handling. We're going to have him put, we're going to put him in a position where he's in the block where he can score easily. That has probably been the ugliest series so far between the two, or between all of the eight series going on. Indiana and Milwaukee being tied with Giannis being out is not shocking. What shocked me was Damian Lillard going absolutely bananas in the first half of that game. One, that was the shocker to me.
I thought expected. The shocker is how Indiana came back, because
Siakam's been on a tear.
But you expected it to be close without Giannis, but Milwaukee should have overall had the edge of just veteran.
You know what I think's gonna you know what I think's gonna really hurt Indiana? I think we all know now he wanted to get to the 65 game threshold so that he could be a rookie supermax guy, but it is abundantly clear Tyrese Haliburton is not healthy and he's just trying to gut it out because he cannot make a shot.
Yeah, he's kind of
a great assist guy. He averages like 12 assists a game, but his shot is broke. Like, they're actually having to rely on Andrew Nembhard to make shots right now. And when you're Milwaukee and you're Glenn Doc Rivers and you have to rely on Chris Middleton to run point, you're in trouble, dude. I don't know if Giannis is coming back. I really don't. This is very much the same timeline as Kevin Durant when he got hurt in the 2019 playoffs. If you strain your calf, you're probably out for a month.
Well, the longer the games go, the longer the series go, the longer.
I don't know Jimmy Butler's coming back either. I think he's done.
I all I know is Milwaukee should still move on. If not, colossal blunders on that franchise.
Yeah. They need to go in Indiana and slap them up. Like, they really got to go in there and show who's boss. And this is the diabolical nature of Glenn Doc Rivers. Every team that Doc Rivers has, the moment you think, oh, they got it under control, they blow it. And then the moment you think, oh no, they're in trouble, they come through. So it's the bipolar nature of his teams. And I don't expect any different from this Milwaukee team. I think everyone's going to think that Milwaukee's in trouble and they're going to easily win the two games in Indiana and screw it all up. They would wind up playing the Philly Knicks series winner. Man, I did not like the body language of Joel Embiid in the locker room after that game too. I know that was a really devastating loss, but he had that look on his face. The same, he looked a little bit disheveled. He looked a little bit out of it, whereas the Lakers just looked pissed. They looked really angry. Let's see how they come out for game three.
The Lakers look angry, but Denver just looks to be a machine still.
They are, but they have shot the ball poorly. Denver has.
And that's the thing, is Denver hasn't been sort of on top of their game, and they're still beating the Lakers with, you know, elderly LeBron and Anthony Davis still like peak performances. So that's very dangerous.
Again, there's a reason why the seedings are the way they are. There's a reason why this team had a better record. They're better. They're just better teams. It really just comes down to the adjustments. And we don't see that until they go to the other town to see where the series goes. So that's why I kind of wonder where some of these series are going to go.
And on the flip side, the two series you haven't mentioned, first is the unwatchable Cleveland-Orlando series, which we all knew. That's
a rock fight. I mean, Orlando cannot keep the ball in their hands.
Orlando is just, they're rookies. They're too young. We saw the same thing happen to Cleveland last year. They just look clueless. And again,
their best game plan has been have the ugly it up with Mo Wagner. That's really what they've been trying to do.
Teams, like I had just mentioned, play harder in the postseason. Orlando didn't seem to get that memo because I guess the rebuild is finally coming to a close, but it's that series isn't watchable. And the other one, which you've avoided, I just assume because it's you, is the Pelican series, which I assume you...
There is one we didn't talk about, which was Dallas and L.A. I talked a little bit about the Pelicans and the Thunder. I will say this, two very athletic teams, teams that can play really good defense. The thing is, the offense of New Orleans is just in the shitter. C.J. McCollum, when he goes to the postseason, he just absolutely, like, his power level goes so way down compared to the regular season version of him that you can't match the energy of what Shea and Jalen Williams and Chet Holmgren can give you. So they also have a secret weapon in Lou Dort, who can play defense. It's just been the only good
without
thing.
Without Zion, the team is
completely Zion different. Williamson, because he strained his hamstring in the Laker game, even though he was having a great game leading up to that point. You know, we don't have to talk too much about the teams that got eliminated, such as Chicago.
No, we don't need to mention them at all.
We got other segments to talk about them. Dallas, LA. You know why I really avoided this one the most, Adam? I don't really know how it's going to go. Like, Kawhi's back, but he's not 100%. Luka, he didn't play well in game one, and the Clippers got off to a big lead early, and then the Clippers can't shoot it in the ocean. Luka goes off in the fourth quarter and they win. So I think that one might just go seven.
It's just a battle of juggernauts. It is
it's very much like the series 3 years ago in 2021. Very much like that.
It is just a knockdown slobber knocker.
Mm-hmm. James Harden and Kyrie Irving, they're both making plays. They're both playing really well, in my opinion.
PJ Washington appears to be a very complimentary pickup for Dallas, because usually they trade for or sign the wrong people all the time. Mm-hmm. But I think they got this one right because he fit right in there and plays a need for them.
Yeah, it really just depends on the health of Kawhi and how much he can step up to the plate and be a two-way player for them, because that's what the Clippers need. They need everybody there. Zubac had a great game. Then he was not so great in game two. So let's see if
Tyler
is also known as the master of adjustments. So we'll see what they do in Dallas. It's going to be a fun series. It's been a fun series so far.
And the funny thing about that is, it's just a battle of two coaches who I guess both want to lose. Cause like Tyronn Lue versus Jason Kidd, it's like, who would you trust in that? That's like, both throw Doc Rivers in for a three-way, and it's just who would you take out of that? Eek. But yeah. It was one of those, I think everybody was like, yeah, this is gonna go seven because we can't, it's just a coin flip. Nobody's gonna dominate that. Somebody's gonna have a big game and somebody else is gonna have a big game. It's just two high-powered arsenals just taking each other out.
Mm-hmm. It's gonna be a battle of attrition. And because of the fact that health's always been an issue with the Clippers, you wonder if Dallas is just gonna survive. Whereas with Orlando, Cleveland, it's a battle of attrition because they are just, they are banking on low field goal percentage because they're beating the shit out of each other. And the Pelicans are doing the same. And it's just, this is just how it is. When you have a roster that is depleted in talent, or you know that talent's not going to get you over the hump, you have to play defense. And I wonder if Milwaukee's going to try to do the same against Indiana's offense, and see if they can try to bog them down a little bit so that they don't shoot 55% the same way that they did in game two. It's interesting. I don't know if my opinion of some of these series has changed over the last week. I still think Minnesota is going to beat the Suns. I got a feeling though that the Phoenix is going to blow them out in Phoenix the first two games. Those two
Minnesota is going to forget that they're immature and will somehow find a way to blow it.
Yeah, but the home court's important, and that's why Minnesota worked for it. After that, you know, there's been some other nice new interesting news and notes. Do you think? Let me ask you this. Do you think that there's a possibility that we will see a new TV partner, not including Disney and Time Warner Discovery, in the new TV contract if they come to an agreement within the next couple of months?
Of course.
Well, who would you think it would be? Amazon, Netflix, Apple?
If it's a streaming only one, that's very dangerous. As Major League Soccer went to Apple TV only, and nobody watches it now. The buzz on soccer is like, you know, Lionel Messi. Perhaps you've heard that name in passing.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, he's one of the most famous soccer players of all time. Yeah, he's in Miami. Can't watch the games because they're on Apple TV. So it's just, if you put stuff behind the paywall, good luck.
But the thing is, too, they're in the same boat as Major League Baseball, where Bally Sports is pretty much bankrupt. And
Bally?
What do they call it?
Bally.
Bally Sports, whatever. You know what I'm talking about. That's the syndicated network that was helping air those games locally for the different teams for League Pass and stuff. They're done for. So they're going to have to find another way to pay for the production of these broadcasts. They're going to have to find a national streaming partner. Maybe they can do it through Time Warner Discovery, through Bleacher Report or Max. I don't think Disney is going to – I think Disney wants to keep ESPN – I think ESPN absolutely wants to keep the NBA Finals in the NBA draft.
ESPN
I don't think
does. Their parent company, Disney, does not, because ESPN is – spend a lot of money for rights for everything.
I say bankrupt. Bally Sports is bankrupt.
Bally's out of business. There's still regional networks, and they could the basketball teams could start their own, like the Suns did. They started their own little Suns network and put them on local TV. So it's not. There's also the way the regionals are. You still got the Fox and Fox Sportses and Comcast Sports Nets and
I think NBC might be a player. Like, I think they're gonna want some playoff games, or maybe the All-Star game or something of that nature. The reason why we're talking about it is because the window has passed for exclusive negotiation just with Disney and Turner, and so now NBA can actually just openly talk deals with everybody.
And of course, that's what Disney wants.
Mm-hmm.
Because Disney's like, we don't want to pay, let's just say.
They just had to pay extra for the college football playoff because they had to rearrange it minus the Pac-12 because the Pac-12 is dead. So now they had to pay even more money for this new deal. So, yeah, you're right. There's not a lot of money left for them to go around.
Plus, they still have the ACC network that nobody watches, and they mm-hmm. have the Longhorn network that nobody watches.
They paid heaven and earth to get the SEC exclusive to their station. So it's just they're in a bind where they're not going to be able to go up a certain number. And if Jeff Bezos or whoever runs Apple, Tim Cook, or if they give a crazy number to them, it's going to be hard to say no if you're the
NBA. It's hard to say no, but it's one of those – why are we paying 100%? We'll gladly pay 60% and give somebody else 40% of stuff as long as we get, you know, we'll pay more to get the finals, but we have no problem partnering, you know.
In terms of the conspiracy, the tinfoil hat wearers, they're doing this to keep the ratings going for the playoffs. I don't think it's worked as well. I know there was some Pelican fans that were upset with how things fell just right for the Lakers, but look, if they really, really wanted it a certain way, if they wanted to rig it a certain way, the Warriors would be in the playoffs right now. Let's be honest with each other. And that didn't happen because the Warriors, I think the dynasty is dead. I think the dynasty.
I mean, if the Warriors had won, you wouldn't look at the Oklahoma City series the same way. You'd be like, oh, wow, that's, you know, who's going to guard Steph? And the same thing. It's the playoff Warriors will come out and good luck. And that's what kind of most people expected. And when that didn't happen, yeah, that's just good luck to them. But for teams that are in it now, good for you. Anything else?
The only thing I kind of was thinking about is just we were trying to figure out a couple of weeks ago why the G League Ignite shut down so quickly. We thought, oh man, that was pretty rash. Like, but now we know why. The numbers are starting to trickle out of how much money these college players are getting in NIL deals to transfer to other schools, and it's in the millions. So now we know why.
Well, there's NIL came in.
There was no way the NBA, they had the money to do it, but there was no way they were going to give a salary cap worthy of like $20 to $30 million for the G League Ignite to be solvent to match with the college boosters paying all these players in the transfer portal. It wasn't going to happen.
Well, the reason the G League is going is because now they have a third two-way player. So basically, let's just get – and the two-way players are being swapped out left and right this past year. So they're getting playing time down there. So the NBA had to, you know, foot the bill for this entire franchise. G League doesn't make money. Nobody goes – those games aren't popular. And those – you know, you got to – traveled all these places. You got the G League has to travel from Vegas to Maine to Mexico City to play, you know, play in front of 2,000 people. Like, and then, like you said, with the NIL, and also the thing, well, you know, we got Scoot Henderson was a number three pick, and we got Jalen Green was a number two pick, and Dyson Daniels.
Development since we recorded was that the deals that have been coming together for some of these players, it's not important to say the players' names. They're going to probably be – they're going to be marginal NBA players at best. But they're getting they're getting over $1 million to go play at a different school. And it's like, okay.
They're asking one –
if I had to guess, the G League, even on a two-way, I think your best salary is somewhere around $700,000 to $800,000.
That's not a two-way salary.
Well, then even less than that, like what, 560,000, something in that neighborhood. What the NIL salary is much, much higher, much higher.
The NIL is much higher. And then we also did mention like Deshaun Nix and I want to say Wendell Moore, but that wasn't it.
It was Michael Foster.
Michael Foster, not drafted. No, Michael Foster was drafted first pick, second round. Got cut, then he's back on the G League Ignite team. You got these players who were picked to be, you know, you're going to be the future.
Isaiah Todd was another one I remember.
Yeah, you got people who aren't getting drafted now. And it's just like, why are you paying this money for these people? They're supposed to be. And, you know, there's a lot of good articles how you're trying to showcase this 18-year-old kid, but you got this 32-year-old guy trying to get his final deal in. So they're competing against each other as opposed to being complimentary. And it was a novel approach. They tried it. It's good. Now it's gone. Nobody's going to miss it.
Yeah, and now that the NCAA tournament's over, the G League is over, you're starting to see the internationals start to declare, like Zachary Rosace, Alexander Saar, Nikola Topic, Tijane Salon, and then Ron Holland and Tyler Smith. Are there any players that now that you're removed from the tournament where UConn won a second title in a row, is there any player that you're kind of interested in that, or somebody, or even somebody internationally where you're like, that guy might actually work out if they win, if this team wins the lottery?
We will get into the draft a little bit later once I think the lottery is announced, the winners. And, you know, you could put your tinfoil hats on where I guess, you know, either San Antonio can win it again, or Golden State with their 1% chance will get it, or
I don't think the Kings had it in mind to keep their pick. I think they wanted to make the playoffs, but I believe they're going to keep their pick instead of having to give it to Atlanta. So, and then there's some that's still to be determined. The Pelicans still have until June 1st to decide whether they want to take the Lakers pick or defer it from the Anthony Davis deal long, long ago. So there's still like some pending decision making to go on. The only one that I would say in college that I saw where I'm like, I think he's going to wind up being good is this wing from Baylor named Jacoby Walter. I think he might be a good like offensive player in the NBA. Will he rise all the way to number one? I don't know. It's a very, very, very big class.
We will get into that later because I got some thoughts on that, but that's for another.
Do you think we're going to see any of those superstars that suffered big injuries? Do you think we'll see Jimmy Butler? Do you think we'll see Zion Williamson? Do you think we'll see Giannis?
In the first round, no.
If Milwaukee doesn't see Giannis, I don't know if they're going to make it out of there.
I don't know what Giannis injured who can't run or jump will do for you. Just draw
Supposedly, he's not even like running in practice. If you're not running in
practice, I don't think you're going to see him in the first round at all.
Yeah, that Durant injury in 2019 changed everything. Because once they realized, okay, if this guy ain't running and jumping, if we're going to put him in a highly competitive playoff game, he might just tear his Achilles in the first quarter. So
exactly. So all right, for Andrew Reich, I'm Adam Murray. Have a good one.
Take care, y'all.